Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inshallah, we'll be doing practicals just now in about half an hour's time. So we just got to complete the sabak. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah ta'ala fi al-Qur'anil Majid wa al-Furqanil Hamid, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. We came to the point where a person comes to the end, towards the end of his salah. He read his tashahud. He established his tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. And as we learned yesterday also from Hazrat, how important Tawheed and Iman is, that Allah Ta'ala has called us 5 times a day, that every time come and renew and establish and reaffirm your Tawheed. And if your Tawheed is not firm, we see great, great pious servants, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the Sheikh of great, great personalities, Wana Qasim Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, that these were stalwarts of knowledge. But he was the sheikh of them. Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi, they were all bad to him. But Hazrat used to make dua in his sajda, Ya Allah, maut na aaye jab tak ke raze tawheed se aga na ho. He said, Allah, don't let me pass away till I come to know the secrets of tawheed. So tawheed we have to establish and build in our heart. Otherwise we see, Allah Ta'ala says, don't think you just said you brought Iman and we're not going to test you. And the test will come. We see an ordinary simple test now what COVID came and how our Iman is shaken apart. And we are all overtaken. No, the protocols are more important than Allah's protocols. So that is a clear sign that Iman, Tawheed hasn't established, come firm into our heart. One is we are Muslims, but Tawheed must enter our heart. So it's extremely important. Otherwise today we just want to be quick and up down. One time Hazrat Qadi Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Bombay to give a program. So the people told him, Hazrat, this is a busy city, you know. Everybody is too busy, so must make bayan short. So Hazrat Haji kept quiet. When the bayan started, then Hazrat asked, that in this crowd here, how many people are 100 years? Hardly a person that was 100 years old. Then he asked, how many is 90 years? Maybe one or two people. He asked, how many 80 years? Maybe one or two also. Then he asked, how many are 60 years? There were 60, then 50, little more. So Hazrat says, see, we are in the old days, people used to listen to Bayan from Isha till Fajr. Shah Ataullah Bukhari used to make Bayan from Isha till Fajr. And people had long lives, comfortable lives. They were at ease. They used to sit. They didn't have fast cars and all equipment, etc. Allah gave them barakat in their life. Today we just want quick, too in a hurry. So our lives are just so short. So exactly the same. If we rush in our namaz also, today we see rush. Every day we hearing of the terrible accidents, etc. So we should realize and understand, establish our iman and establish our tawheed. So anyway, let us just read these the sabah finish and then explain a few important points. After now a person has confirmed his tawheed with Allah Rabbul Izzat, and a person now has reaffirmed his pledge, the pledge we made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Alam-e-Arwah. And by just reciting the kalima, you are refreshing. And that is what Hazrat taught us. One is our namaz, we come to establish our iman. Daily iman must go into the heart. And then a person should recite his kalimas also. And see how important it was. In the maktab, we thought we just reading kalima loud. Used to take competition with one another, but now read it a bit with senses. Said, oh Allah, I'm bringing that iman, what you sent to us, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That iman I'm bringing. Otherwise, there's lot of concepts of iman today also. which is very, very dangerous. Then a person, baad uske durood padhe, after you have re-established your tawheed, etc., and it shouldn't be such that a person says to Allah Ta'ala that I believe only in you, O Allah, and I determine that there is nobody for me besides you, but when you got a need, you first tend to turn to anybody else. Then we turn to Allah. It shows tawheed hasn't entered our heart. The first thing, anybody, anything, even if you're not here or you don't need a musalla, you just contact Allah Ta'ala same time. And then you perform salah even better. Now a person recites after that, you recite your durood. A person now before he gets up from the honorable court of Allah Rabbul Izzat, he recites durood upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After all, who brought this great gift to us? How are we going to appreciate and say Jazakallah to our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So a person recites, and besides that, our salah, where can it ever be accepted in the court of Allah? Through the barakat of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah's beloved, now we present our salah in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. That what is the brief meaning? Ilahi rahmati khas bej upar Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke aur ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke jaise rahmati khas beji tune Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam aur ali Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam ke tu hi hai saraya saraha gaya buzurgi wala hai. That, O Allah, send your special mercies upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our durood, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not in need of it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from ever Allah Ta'ala is sending durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the ayat of the Quran Kareem where Allah mentions inna Allah wa malaikatahu, Allah is showing us the great position of our Nabi, that from the beginning and all the time Allah is sending durood upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah doesn't send as an ibadat, Allah is sending special mercies, raising the stages of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The malaika are sending durood that, O Allah, raise the position of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we shouldn't get left out. We as the ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam should appreciate our beloved Nabi and say, Ya Allah, send your special mercies upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family, as you have sent your special mercies upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, our great grandfather from whose progeny Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, and upon his family. You are an embodiment of praise, and you are very, very, very honorable, very great. You are that great personality who just bestows with favor. And so beautifully, one of our pious elders, Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah, used to say that Allah Ta'ala piyar kar Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That Allah make love with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is actually durood. And love, Hazrat Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah explained, love is something that is outgoing. You don't look for return. Today we say our wife, we love her. But if she just one thing she didn't do, then we get upset. That is not love, that is lust. Lust is you want your own desires. Love is outgoing. So when we learn namaz and we recite durood, then inshallah love will come in our heart. And then small things we'll overlook. No, not petty things and big arguments, etc. Then further, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad kama barakta ala Sayyidina Ibrahim wa ala ali Sayyidina Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. And when we're reciting durood, think of that time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think we're in the presence of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ilahi barkat bej upar Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke aur ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke jaise ke barkat beji tune Ibrahim upar Ibrahim alaihi salam ke aur ali Ibrahim alaihi salam ke tu hi saraha gaya hai aur buzurg hai. Now a person says that, oh Allah, send your special blessings upon our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine, Allah is telling us send durood, but Allah has taught us in this way, that Allahumma, O Allah, you send durood.
We don't know how to praise Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our deen is so easy, so beautiful. We wouldn't have known how to perform salah, how to praise Allah, how to praise Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah gave us a complete package. So we just have to follow in that. Similarly, how to respect our elders, etc. All just we learn from salah. When salah comes in our life, our whole deen will come correct. Our deen comes correct, our whole dunya will come correct. Then we learn etiquette, we learn respect, we learn every aspect of our life. And then we'll see what life is all about. But sadly today we're putting the cart before the horse. Mana, when I business, I just have a problem, then I'll come for salah. When I just, the students think when they finish their exams, they'll come for salah. No, that work will never get done. You come for salah first, Allah will complete all your work. And learn salah outwardly, internally. And just now, inshallah, we'll do some practical and see if you try and correct your outward, your inward will get corrected. So here we're saying, oh Allah, please send abundance of special blessings upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his honorable family, as you have sent upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and his honorable family. You are most praiseworthy and you are most great and honorable, O Allah. Your position is very high, we can never imagine. Then, now you have come to the end of your salah. Now you don't just get up and move. Now, ab adab ke saath namaz se bahar aana. What great respect now, you come out of the court of Allah. And how is that respect? Bahar aana namaz se faraz hai. To an action to do to come out namaz, that is faraz. Like the action we turn our head, turning your head, that action is faraz. In other words, you don't just get up now, I finish root, do root, and that action is faraz. To say the salam, etc., that is sunnat. Or tahiyya masnoon, namaz se bahar aane ka shuru mein, ye hai. And what is the beautiful, the respect of, now again, salam, when you leave in, you go to the people in the beginning, assalamu alaikum, how's everybody? Now when you leaving, you say, assalamu alaikum, aujo, all that again. So here we have to also reward great respect, that, oh Allah, you gave me this honor. Then Allah Ta'ala will say, my banda, it is, you have come here, so come back again. Like how the visitors that you like, you tell them, please come back quickly. Allah brings us back for the next salam. It is a sign that Allah Ta'ala has showered mercies upon us. Now in this way you recite, you say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Munfarid kuchaye ke bawakti salam ke farishto ka kiraman ka tibin ki, jo uske dahne aur baaye hai niyat kare. Aur muqtadi kuchaye, muqtadi, جو امام کے پیچھے برابر ہے اور دانی طرف والی مقتدی اور فرشتو دانے والی مقتدی دانے والے دانے طرف والی مقتدی اور فرشتوں کی نیت کرے اور اسی طرح بائیں طرف کے سلام میں امام اور بائیں مقتدی اور فرشتوں کی نیت کرے اور جو مقتدی کے امام کے دانے ہیں دانے سلام میں مقتدی اور فرشتوں کی جو اس سے دانے ہیں نیت کرے اور بائی سلام میں امام اور مقتدی اور فرشتوں کے جو اس کے بائی طرف ہے نیت کرے. اسی طرح جو مقتدی کے امام کے بائی ہے اور جو مقتدی کے دانے طرف کنارے صف کے ہیں دانے سلام میں فرشتوں کی نیت کرے اور بائی سلام میں امام اور مقتدی اور فرشتوں کی اور مقتدی بائی طرف کے کنارہ والا علی حاضر کیا. In simple terms, what Hazrat has mentioned here, now when you make salam, then remember, there are angels on your shoulders. Now you make salam and make the salam full. Salam starts from the middle and turn your head straight and look at your shoulders. In other words, when the investigators from SARS, etc. come to your business, then see how you attend to them. And how you'll prepare all samosas and a lot of entertainment for them so they give you a good report. These are the CIDs of Allah Ta'ala. They are there writing and we make salam and we don't look at them. How many years we making salam, we don't even make intention for them. Today you greet a small child and your father said, that's a big monisa. You go home, you tell his ummi, monisa make salam, but he don't look at me. So we not how many years we haven't looked at the angels. That is why we haven't realized that above the system of this world is Allah Ta'ala's taqweeni umur, the unseen system of Allah. That Allah has got an unseen system. As Hazrat explained, it is not any Jewish lobby, nobody that is controlling. It is Allah Ta'ala's unseen system that is working above us. In Surah Kahf, we learn so many lessons that certain things are happening, you don't know why Allah did that. That is Allah's unseen system. So when you make salam, may turn full to the right and make the intention of the angels. If you're then making salam individually, then when you turn to the right, make salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And make salam to the angel on the right, and then bring your head to the middle. That is the first salam is ended. Now from the middle, now you start your next salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Scientists have come to realize now, just in this one mustahab act of turning your head, it is the best exercise for the heart. So what we have got, we don't understand. And on the other hand, so if you're reading namaz alone, it's only the intention of the angels. If you're reading namaz behind the imam, then if you're standing directly behind the imam, then both sides when you make salam, make niyat of the angel, make niyat of the imam, make niyat of all the musallis on that side. And if you're making, if you're on the right side, then obviously the imam will be on the left. So you make niyat of the angel or the imam and all the musallis on this side. And when you're making salam on the other side, whichever side the imam is, you'll make the niyat of the imam also, and these angels, and the other musallis, and there might be pious jinnat also in the surf. So a person should realize, this is the etiquette of making salam. Not you make salam and you worried that who came today for salam. Especially that brother is owing me, I hope he's here for salam. So what can we do? We didn't make salam. And that is why, Allahu Akbar, this is a different discussion alone, that you just make salam, how lot of muhabbat and all the enmity will disappear in the whole community. But we're not making our salam properly. We never even make salam to the angels. How many years? So a person should be conscious that make your salam, look on your shoulder. And then you'll see, now you'll realize that there are angels here. You'll realize the system above us that is working in the world. And a person will understand and realize how great is Allah Rabbul Izzat. And in some places there is so much ignorance in deen. Today even more. In the earlier days also, now also, sometimes, and we go to one of two extremes. Like, it is a respect and etiquette that a wife shouldn't take her husband's name. And on the other hand, when it's necessary, then you take his name. Like a child that shouldn't call his father by his father's name. But when they ask you what's your father's name, he don't say Abba. He must know his father's name. So exactly the same. Today there is so much ignorance that a wife doesn't know that if I take my husband's name, it's disrespect, maybe talaq will fall. No, talaq won't fall. Know our deen. So one such woman, she thought that if I take my husband's name, then I will be divorced. Now she have to say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Rahmatullah was her husband's name. Now she's in a dilemma, how am I going to make salam? So her child's name was Kunya. So she said, assalamu alaikum Kunya ka Abba. That's salam on Kunya's father. No, on the other hand, today we see that how woman folk just talk, take their husband's name anyhow, and then the etiquette and respect that a woman also should, her name should be concealed. Today everybody wants to put their names on their car. This is so and so car, this is her car, this is her, that car. So the deen and namaz will teach us etiquette. It will teach us respect. It will teach us haya. It will teach us complete deen. Then a person will see what was life all about. Why Allah has stressed so much that we come for salah. So in this way, a person should realize and understand that which side you are, make salam, and look on your shoulders, make salam of the angels, the imam, and all the muqtadis on that side, and on the other side, whichever side you are, and if you're in the middle, then on both sides you make niyat of the imam. Then when you finish your salah, uske baad ek dua parni sunnat hai. And now the du'as that after you recite your durood, before you just come and finish your salah, then there are different du'as that have been mentioned in the hadith. One is, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya zal jalali wal ikram. But more sunnat just is to really read after namaz. But even in namaz, but the most appropriate du'a to read at the end of salam, before you make your salam, is the greatest teacher in the world. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the greatest student, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, taught him the greatest ibadat, salah. And at the end of salah, what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Hazrat Abu Bakr now to read, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kaseera, wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta, faghfir li maghfiratan min indika, warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. That, oh Allah, I have done a great wrong upon myself. Zalam tu nafsi zulma, great, great wrong. Wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunub illa anta. If you don't forgive me, oh Allah, then I am doomed. That the honor you gave me to come into your court, and you get upset with me that you came to my court, and like certain visitors come and they don't have respect, etc. You get upset with them. So Allah, please, only you can forgive all my shortcomings. In other words, oh Allah, my namaz, my durood, nothing is worth being accepted. Just forgive all the shortcomings. وَلَا يَفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Only you are so kind that you allow the useless servant in your court to overlook all my faults. And how? Through the barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The namaz actually, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Namaz supposed to be only for the remembrance of Allah. But our elders explain that Allah has given us durood in namaz, that through the barakat of durood and the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durood is that action that will pull all our amal to Allah ta'ala. Otherwise our amal can never be accepted. So a person realizes that whatever you do, you can do the greatest action. What is the sign of acceptance? That humbleness comes in a person. A person realizes, I made a mess of this action. And when you show your humbleness, and you realize that, oh Allah, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after his salah, and what was the salah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Every minute, the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ma'rifat and muhabbat and greatness of Allah is penetrating. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma abadnaka haqqa iba, ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifati. Oh Allah, I haven't recognized you, and we can never recognize you according to your great position. It is impossible. We are got limited minds. Allah is unlimited. So it's impossible to recognize Allah. But still Allah has given us the opportunity to be in His court. So Allah, we cannot worship you the way you are supposed to be worshipped. So please forgive us. So this humbleness, one dua is just anta Allahumma anta salam. But the more better and sunnah dua is, Allahumma inni zalamtu. So the brief meaning of this dua, Allahumma anta salam, Ya Allah, tu hi hai salam, or tu se hai salam, or barakat wala hai, tu hai, but to aur barkat wala hai tu aisai buzurg aur bakhshish ke. That, oh Allah, you are the embodiment of peace, and you only distribute peace, oh Allah, and you are so blessed, Ya Allah. You are that majestic being, but you are extremely kind and merciful. Hadith ki sahi riwayaton mein ye dua usi qadar mazkur hai, janna chahe jo ye banda panch waqt beech darbaan. Aise badshah aliya ke be minnat aur istan ki kisi dusre ke hazir hone ke sarf faraz hue, to phir lazim hai ke jo apne malik ke samne ikrar kar aaya us par qaim rahe. Ye nahi ke panch waqt par dagar ke samne پانچ وقت پر پروردگار کے سامنے ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین کہا ہوئے بعد اس کے کسی اور کو پوجے اور وقت مصیبت کے کسی اور کو پکارے اور مدد چاہے اور لازم ہے کہ جو خدا سے دعا کرے کہ اہدنا الصراط المستقیم تو اس کو تحقیق کرے کہ صراط مستقیم کی راہ رضا مندی حق تبارک و تعالی کی ہے کیا ہے. This is now important. Hazrat says that now a person should realize that when that great, very, very kind king, the kings of kings, without any, they are begging to him, Allah Ta'ala has allowed me, and nobody can say that I did a favor to allow you to go to the court of Allah. No mutawalli can say that I gave you the opportunity to go in the house of Allah. The house of Allah, nobody can restrict you. When Allah has allowed you, and you came in the house, and you presented your request to Allah, and you realized there is nobody for me like you, O Allah, now reiterate and confirm your firm conviction of iman in your heart, that, O Allah, I am only your slave. I'll only turn to you, and I'll only seek help from you. And this is not just words, that reality has to come. That is why the scores of tazkiyah, of zikr, that as a person does it, then any condition comes, he won't turn to somebody else. He won't ask anybody else for help. Any difficulty comes, he realizes it comes from my Allah. And you beg Allah Ta'ala, that, oh Allah, put me on the straight path. Now find out which is that straight path. The straight path of the hands of the pious be a person. So you hold the hand of a wali of Allah Ta'ala, and the easiest way to reach Allah is a straight road, not all crooked roads. Don't follow shaitan. And when you're asking Allah Ta'ala, show me the straight path, there is three ways. One is, a person gives you direction, he gives you a whole map book, etc. You read it, but now if the road is construction, etc., or you didn't understand the map, you can still get lost. The second way is that a person tell you, I am going to that place, you just follow me in the car, I'm in the car in front, you follow me behind. That is the easiest way, but you can still get lost. Especially if you overtake 2-3 trucks, or at night comes, now you don't know which car is it. So you're still going to go through difficulty. The third way is, the sheikh tells you, I am going, you just sit in my car, and I will take you to that place. So when you go, you even slept away, you were dreaming you in America, but when you woke up, you saw, I reached my destination. So this is the easiest way to reach Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hold the hand of a pious servant of Allah, and he will teach us the reality of deen, etc. And then a person will realize what is deen all about, and what is the reality of our life. So a person understands and realizes, or kamal shafqat, say, is banda ke waste parwardigar ne teen rakat. So a person realizes that Islam, قعدہ میں بیٹھے ہوئے نظر اپنی گوڑ پر رکھے اس سارے مضمون کی بھی اچھی طرح مشق کرے. Now a person realizes that Allah Ta'ala, please put me on that straight path. That straight path, not the path of the people who have gone astray, and not the path of those people that your anger is. And the straight path, put me straight on the straight path. Not that I first go on the wrong path and then I come on the straight path. In other words, bring me straight towards you, O Allah. Don't let me first go the wrong way and then come the right way. But anyway, so here, this is a brief indication what a great and great ni'mat Allah Ta'ala has given us. It's so magnificent, it's so enjoyable, but when we build our contact with Allah. Otherwise, like Mawlana Abraul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi explained, that even going to your shop, etc., and you think that shop, that will give me my rosy, my sustenance, or my degree, etc., that is like a switch. You got a switch, but you don't have connection. What is going to come? Or you got a switch and you got connection, but you have broken your connection. You haven't serviced yourself coming regularly in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you got no connection. Now you see there's load shedding. And you're owning all the switches, you're checking the main switch, etc., but no current is coming. So So exactly the same. When we don't come regularly for salah, then we fall into all depression. A small problem becomes a big problem. But when you got connection with Allah, Allahu Akbar, you can't imagine how Allah Ta'ala will do your work. Just one, two incidents, and then after that is Namaz Witr, which inshallah, if this time, hopefully tomorrow we have another day of Ramadan Sharif, then we'll discuss this dua of Salatul Witr, which is such a great dua also, that how we beg Allah Ta'ala for His mercy, how we seek maghfirat from Allah, we reiterate our iman, we put our trust in Allah, Allahumma inna nasta'inuk, wa nastaghfiruk, wa nu'minu bik, wa natawakkalu alayk, wa nusni alayk al-khayr, and O Allah, we praise you with all goodness, wa nashkuruka wa la nakfuruka, and we make shukr to you, we are grateful and we are not ungrateful to you. The one person was reading namaz for many years and he was saying it opposite, that wa nakfuruka wa la nashkuruka, that we make kufr with you and we die. That is why Mawlana Rum rahmatullahi said, yak zamana ba suhbati awliya, 1 minute, 1 second in the company of the friend of Allah is better than 100 years of ibadat. That minute when he came in the company of the friend of Allah, he realized that I'm making this mistake 30 years. Now he made tawbah istighfar. And then, وَنَخْلَوْ وَنَتْرُكُ مَنْ يَفْتُرُكُ, and we separate from those people who get involved in sin. But this is a person whose belief is wrong. Not your child is involved in sin, now you tell him, get out of the house. You fall in, you get more worse. No, our buzurs have explained, and this is what we'll understand deen. Otherwise we say, no, now I don't want you. I just own you. He'll get worse, the poor person. So we should understand and realize, and then we say, Allahumma iyyaka na'budu. Again, we reiterate our iman, that, oh Allah, it's only you that we make ibadat of, and only you, I'm your slave, oh Allah. Well, and my salah is not for my own personal gain. It's not for my desires. It's only for you. And O Allah, I bow down in front of you. Wa ilayka nas'a. I run towards you, O Allah. Wa nahfidu wa narju rahmataka. O Allah, we hope your mercy. Wa nakhsha azabak. And we fear your punishment. Verily, your punishment is for the disbelievers. They will get a severe punishment. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding, that we realize that this great, great ni'mat of salah will bring our whole life in order. But we have to build this connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then we'll see what salah will do for us. Salah, those are the great servants of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Anybody try to cause them harm, they turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One great personality, Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah Alayh, the author of one of the great fiqh usul kitab taught in the madaris, in the Darul Uloom, one day he was living in a small shanty. The government decided that now they want to build a road there, and they're going to bulldoze his house. And they came to tell him that we're going to bulldoze your house. So he said, and he told his, that they're going to come with their bulldozers, etc. He told his khadim, you bring my weapon. And when he brought his weapons, what his khadim knew, his weapon was his musalla, his weapon was his lota, his miswak. He made wuzu and he made dua, that, oh Allah, they want to bulldoze my house. Allah, then, when they saw the workers, the government workers saw, they quickly went to the government, that he is taking out his army, you rather. And then immediately they changed the whole route of that whole highway. So the friends of Allah, they look humble. But when they take qasam, Allah Ta'ala makes that qasam come true. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and understanding to realize what a great, great ni'mat. But the reality we'll get only from the friends of Allah Ta'ala. We can't make enough shukr. We have great personalities, our Hazrat, to teach us this. In our broken way, we try to explain whatever we learned. Allah accept and give us tawfiq to get the real current. And our deen comes right, our whole dunya comes right. Inshallah, we'll be making practical salah now. We should try and sit in safs, and then we can start our... And sit in a saf orderly, inshallah. And as we learned over and over in the sabak, we should try and make mashk, try and
practice and be conscious that before you enter the masjid already, come with a niyat only for the pleasure of Allah. That I am invited by Allah Rabbul Izzat. I am coming for a meeting with the kings of kings. So your mind has to be present. And niyat is presence of mind. Doesn't you have to say it verbally? In the beginning, just to bring this presence of mind, you say it verbally. But after that, you realize that the moment you leave your house, you know you're going for salah. But when you come, enter the house of Allah Ta'ala, now you are present, you're conscious, and read the dua, etc. Then as far as salah is concerned, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. That perform salah as you saw me performing salah. So it is extremely important. One is to learn the kitab and read the kitab. That's not the end of learning salah. Learning salah, you have to learn practically from those who saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then they taught it to their students and their students. And till today, Alhamdulillah, the chain which goes right up to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah will keep it all the time. That there will be those men in the world who have learned from authentic pious servants, and they have learned deen according to how it was taught by Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Alhamdulillah, we also were fortunate to learn from our Hazrat, who learned from our Shaykh, and goes up right to Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which comes directly from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So all of us, this is just one practice session. Regularly we should try and learn from those ulama and see and check whether our salah is correct. If our outside becomes correct, then inshallah it will affect the inside also. Like Allahu Akbar. There's an incident mentioned with regard to Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh. He was walking on the road one day and he saw a prince laying on the road totally drunk and foam coming out of his mouth, etc. Then he took cold water, washed his face. This person became sober. He looked up. He was shocked. He said, "Oh, Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayh, you people are pious people. You all wear white kurtas, etc. Where you had time to wash my face?" He says, "You don't know how the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned for the whole creation of Allah." And then after a few minutes, his heart changed and he became a great wali. Ibrahim ibn Adham rahmatullah alayhi was surprised and shocked, and he made dua to Allah that, "Oh Allah, how did this happen? In a split moment, this person was totally drunk, unmindful. Allah Ta'ala inspired in his heart that you washed his face for my pleasure. I washed his heart for your pleasure." So he cleaned his outside, his inside became made. The magician in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, mockingly they imitated the dress of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And because they imitated Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, that was one aspect. Another aspect, they showed respect to Musa alayhi salam, that you will throw your magic first or we will throw. Because of this, Allah Ta'ala in a split moment gave them such iman that was impossible that a person can get that. Even the malaika was shocked. They said, "Oh Allah, these people came to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam." But they got such iman when they saw the reality that Musa alayhi salam was not making magic. He has got the miracle of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and immediately they fell into sajda. And the threats of Fir'aun did not bother them in the least, but they said, "La zayr, we're not concerned." So if they imitated Musa alayhi salatu wasalam just in mockingly, and Allah made their insight, then imagine if we imitate our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Allah Ta'ala will correct our hearts. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand and realize, as our Hazrat, as the Mashaykh, always stress on us, that make your outward salah properly first. If you make your outward, it will affect your heart. Then you'll start getting the current coming. Then you'll see that how you'll realize that I must come for my majlis, I must make my zikr, etc. So firstly, very important, as far as salah is concerned, that a person, all what we have learned in the sabak, try and realize the proper etiquette, how we should come, our dressing, etc. But the actual salah, that a person stands in the straight line, making our surf absolutely straight,
This is a very important aspect of our salah. This is so important that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that a person, that if our steps are not straight in salah, and we are not standing close, shoulder to shoulder, then there will be disunity in the community. And today we see what disunity has spread, and because we haven't been conscious that our steps are not straight. Even slightly, somebody's feet is little back, somebody's is little front, and there's a slight gap in between, shaitan immediately comes. And this is what caused dissension in the community. We see many places, even if there's three families, but there's four jamaats in that place. Because of this, and then we will say, why there's problems in this community, why there's problems in that masjid, in that institution, no personal problem, personal grudges, or just, it's not personal grudges, our problem is here in the masjid. That we haven't straightened ourselves, and as our Hazrat teaches us now, and this is the barakat of having the company of the friends of Allah. We look for the cause of our sicknesses somewhere else, and we are looking for the cure somewhere else. Now we have realized why all the social distance, etc. has come, and all these laws Allah has brought from those who are bigger oppressors, because we oppressed ourselves. We were standing in salah, but we didn't stand shoulder to shoulder. The shoulder should be touching. The person towards the imam should be touching the shoulder of the person next to him. There shouldn't be a gap, because if shaitan sees a slight gap, he comes immediately, whispers in your ears, you don't even know you in salah. Shaitan found all the gaps, and it starts from the markaz, Haramain, Sharifain. There our stuffs were not complete. Then it spread in all the masjids, and we think we were standing shoulder to shoulder. Today we realize that we were not shoulder to shoulder. And that is what? The harm in the ummah, and the split in the ummah, because we didn't stand shoulder to shoulder. So let us all stand up, inshallah, and make ourselves straight, and try and see that our, and the other problem is generally today, with the different types of musallas we have in the masjid, sometimes there's two lines, two border lines. Sometimes there's three border lines. So it is extremely important that the imam or the mutawallis of the masjid must make a poster and show it, where it is clearly seen that which line is the line to differentiate that we straighten ourselves. So we should see, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to practically see and go into the safs. And so beautifully Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to rub a person whose two front, rub him on his chest, had moved slightly back. A person whose back, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to rub him from the back, you move slightly front. And we see that till today the call is made to straighten yourself. But now sadly in the Haram Sharif also especially, it just has become a formality. It's not a formality, it has to be a reality. That the imam should walk in the steps also. But today we have to see that today an imam going to touch somebody which is a mutawalli, he get upset. No, we also have to train ourselves that when somebody reminds us of something, then we should appreciate that he's teaching us our deen. Hazrat says also very beautifully, our Dara Sheikh teaches us that now it doesn't mean you came to the khanka, you learned I need nisbat and connection with Allah Ta'ala, so your eyes are only on the arsh of Allah. No, a Sufi, his eyes has to be down also. That you must see whether your trousers are below your ankle. Sometimes we keep it up, but it can slip down also. So a person must look at the down, that you came for Allah's rahmat, but your garments are below your ankles. You're getting the la'nat of Allah Ta'ala. So exactly the same. In the same way, when a person, first before he starts his namaz, see that your heels are in the straight line, on the stuff, everybody, and I just walk in the side and check, that everybody should be standing on the straight line. And then very, very important, that our feet should be four fingers facing. And remember, the mashq and the practice that we are doing here now is according to the Hanafi mazhab. So the Shafi mazhab and other mazhabs might be a bit different, they should learn from the ulama. This is the Hanafi mazhab, and try and check If we don't know what is four fingers, then that is why just practice. That check, put your fingers, your hands in between, and when after this, when you do your nafal salah, etc., you put your hands and see. One is your feet should be four fingers apart, and the other thing is your feet should be facing Qibla. Both feet should be straight towards the Qibla. Normally our Hazrat explained, sadly, that we see one feet is east, one feet is to the west, either it's 10 to 10 or 10 past 10. No, the feet should all be facing straight towards the Qibla. And a person should check that, am I in line on the saf? Before we even start our salah, we should check this. And even when a person gets up from his sajda, etc., normally the feet will move slightly. But as you're getting up and before you stand in your saf again, then check, is my saf on the straight line? Normally you will find, even if we started our salah with a straight line, but when we get up in the second rakat, then one person is slightly front, one person is slightly back. So that also, when you're getting up, then check when you stand backing on the saf, that is my saf in the line. So this is extremely important, that a person keeps an eye, and then your feet has to be straight in line facing towards the Qibla. Then generally in salah, you keep your fingers in a normal position. And especially when you start your salah, Allahu Akbar, then lift your hand in line with your ear. If you touch your ear lobes also, even better. But your fingers should be facing towards the Qibla. Otherwise today we see many different ways that some people are just making Allahu Akbar like human folk, just lifting it up to their chest. And sometimes even imam, just lifting till here. Or our hands are facing towards our ears. No, we should check. And that is why, go home again. Here is just a short practice. When we go home, tell the wife to check you. Don't be shy. Tell some alim or anybody that please check me. Inshallah, the ulama also in between will help us and show us. But see, when we start our salah, the hands should be kept normal position, not backwards like that, straight in line. And very important, as we learn, what is tawazu and humbleness? Not that you keep your head down, keep your head up, but keep your gazes towards the place of sajda. And keep your hand in a normal position, lift it up till your ear lobes. If it touches your ear lobes, even better. But it must be facing Qibla. Not sometimes it's going too back, or sometimes it's on the side, or sometimes a person, to get his hand straight, you're bending your head. No. Just keep, and this will come with practice. It's not just going to come one time like this. So from this we can understand myself first. And as we make much, we'll realize how faulty my salat is. And every time we will realize how faulty. That is why we have to keep on making astaghfar and keep on trying. So keep your hands in a normal position, lift it up in line with your ear lobes, and if it touches your ear lobes, even better, and face your hands towards Qibla. Make sure your hands are facing towards Qibla. And ask somebody to check. We shouldn't be shy. We see mostly our hands, we don't realize. Because when you're lifting it up, now you're not sure whether it's facing Qibla. But it's mostly close, or it's mostly too back, or it's mostly too front. So very, very important that our hands should be facing towards Qibla. And keep your gazes down. Don't make your head so stiff or anything. Just be in a normal position. Keep your head, your body normal, and try and keep your gazes down and lift your hands. And then to lift your hands is sunnah. And remember, this what we are learning, this we have learned from our sheikh and our mashayikh, and we are convinced and we are happy that they have learned from their elders. And there are many, maybe differences, other tariqas of namaz, which all might be correct. So what we're learning here is for ourselves. What we're learning here is not to think that now I know my salah and going to try and correct somebody else and say that how you reading salah is not correct. No, what we learn and which mashayikh and sheikh you are following, follow him. Other people, if they're following their sheikh or whichever mufti they are following and they are satisfied, leave them. Who you can explain, your friend or somebody who comes to the same chair, then try and explain to him. But the knowledge of deen is not to show that I'm now very pious. And now you create argument and you people don't know how to make salah. We learned how to make salah. No, what we learned from our mashayikh, that apna tariqa ko choro mat, or dusre ko chero mat. They don't leave your method, how you learn. There are other methods also, there are other the riwayats that come. But what we have learned from our elders, we are satisfied, alhamdulillah, they have learned from their elders. So we should realize, there is only two positions in salah, where the hands are not kept in the normal position. Otherwise, all the other positions, the hands are kept in the normal position. The normal position, like how you keep your hands normal, fingers are relaxed, everything. The two positions in salah, one is in ruku. When you go into ruku, then you have to grasp your knees. That is, you have to hold your knees firmly. And when you go into sajda, then your hands must be, your fingers must be totally closed like this and put flat on the ground and facing towards the qibla. This is also extremely important, which our Shaykh taught us over and over. And myself, the most faulty in salah, we still see that our hands are not totally in order. And remember, we learn from our elders, but also understand and remember, as the elders may be getting older, they might have some excuse, they might have some sickness, so don't just look at your elders now, and my Shaykh, he made salah like this, now I must make, no, find out. If you have a doubt, then find out from a mufti, or find out from our Hazrat, but realize, as they get older, then you don't directly copy their salah. What they have taught us the correct way, that is how we should try and practice. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One is to lift your hands, this is sunnah. To say the first takbir so loud that you hear yourself, Allahu Akbar, as we have learned, that is takbir tahreema. Now you entering salah, and you are acknowledging that, oh Allah, you have given me permission to come in your court. Now I make everything, I throw the two worlds behind me, and everything I make haram upon me. In other words, now no talking, no looking your gazes around, etc. And as we have learned, keep the gaze in the standing position towards more or less where you will make sajda. This is maybe a mustahab act of salah, but just this act alone will bring your outside come right, your outside you looking down, you'll see inside, you'll get the consciousness to control your gazes out of salah. So very important, let us see first the safs are totally straight. And see that, now you check most of the long. And as we have said, that this is just one small mask, one small practice session, we have to be regularly practicing it. All the time we have to ask somebody and make an effort, especially in our nafal namazas, etc. Check, or even go home, stand in front of the mirror and see that how am I making my Allahu Akbar. So a person now, secondly now, as our Hazrat explained, and as we learn, salah is making miraj, going to the arsh of Allah. So like in the aeroplane also, our Dada Shaykh explained so beautiful, when you're going to fly up in the air, then they teach you and they show you on the screen how to buckle up. Now you have to buckle up before you go in. In other words, with extreme adab, with respect, stand in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And also when we're making Allahu Akbar, don't bend the hands. Keep the hands normal. Just normal and facing towards the Qibla. Then if you drop your hands full down, just drop your hands as Allah has made our hands that length. Automatically a Hanafi, he should make his holding your hand below your navel. But how you should hold your hand, the sunnah method is, with the big finger, that is your thumb. With your thumb and your small finger, you make a ring around your wrist. And your three fingers on your arm. And your left hand behind the right hand. In other words, totally like how you buckle up in an aeroplane. So your hands, many times we see, we are holding our hands, one down, one up, Oh, our hands are not, the three fingers are not on top. So properly, with the small finger and the thumb, make a ring around your wrist. Put your other three fingers on your forearm and your back hand right in line behind your wrist. So then you say, Allahu Akbar. And naturally, as you learn, you drop it and keep it below your navel. And in the start, we might not realizing that we're not keeping it behind our navel, then practice also. Check little how Allah Ta'ala has put our navel and made our hands such that if you drop your hands full, it will come below your navel. And you keep it in that position. See that your one hand is not sticking out like that. Or like Hazrat says, we become one of two to conditions. That now I'm just performing salah, I'm used to it. So like I can stand anyhow. No, a person should be conscious and realize, I'm in the court of Allah Rabbul Izzat. I have come here to surrender in front of Allah. How Allah wants me to stand, that is how I will stand. So make our folding our hands exactly like this. And we should practice and see. Generally we don't even, imams, we don't realize that our hands are not in line. One hand, fingers are sticking out here at the bottom, that we worried something will fly away. No, we have to be worried if we're standing in the court of Allah with great adab, with great respect. And then obviously we'll read our sunnah that we learned and try and practice. This is the outward condition. Try and practice and make your all of us be conscious that we still, we got such a habit that even we folding of our hands, but we don't realize. And your hands shouldn't be hanging also. It should be firm on your body and keep your the back hand should be right under the right hand. That you won't even see it. It is right under. And the top with such neatness. Our salah shows us total neatness. Islam is a practical religion. That anybody who comes into the masjid, non-Muslim, they'll see what organized community this is. But if we all standing differently, we holding our hands, they themselves will be surprised. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to realize that we have to practice this continuously. And make our ring with the thumb and the small finger. And then as we have learned, concentration in salah is very simple. Now just think for that moment, I'm in the presence of Allah. I'm in qiyam, etc. And keeping our gazes towards the sajda position. After you have read your sunnah, you have read your surah Fatiha, etc. Now you go into ruku. When a person goes into ruku, then his back should be totally straight in line and your head also should be straight in line. Don't keep your head up or your head too low. Your back should be exactly straight in line, that if a brick is even placed, it won't fall. But obviously, this is according to a person, if a person have a problem, but not today, a small problems, back problems, you want to sit on a chair. If you have a little difficulty also, try and make it. But practice, especially people like us who can. When you go into ruku now, you go straight down and grasp your hand. Keep your legs in the same position. Don't when you go into ruku, you see your feet just above and then your feet goes out of qibla. See that your feet is in qibla or going to ruku, inshallah, and grasp your knees. That is, keep your hands open and hold your knees firmly. Hold your knees firmly keep your gaze on your feet when in your ruku and keep your head straight up. In other words, your head shouldn't be little too high or little too low. The head should be and the back should be extremely straight. And this will need practice and see how beneficial it is for our health also. Let all the back problems will disappear. And then your hands also shouldn't be bent. Your hands should be straight. Keep your hands straight. Shouldn't be bent or shouldn't be pushed out too much. Your hands should be straight in line. And a person should keep your head straight in line and look at your feet. And then we read the sunnah
dua in ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and person concentrate and look on your feet. And hold your knees, grasp your knees. This is the time when your hand will be completely open and grasping your knees. And keep your head and your back firm in line. And look onto your feet. Generally our head stays a bit up or a bit down. Your arms should be straight. Don't bend your arms or don't keep it sticking out. Your arms should be exactly straight. Keep your arms firm. And your chin also should be straight. You don't have to push it too back and you don't have to bring it too front. Keep it straight in line and you'll see that how beautiful it looks also when you make your ruku. But when we're pushing it too back or too front, then it looks odd also. So it is extremely important that we keep our hands straight and keep our our chin's also straight. A person's hand should be straight in ruku, and your chin also should be extremely straight. Don't push it too back or don't push it too front. And just in a normal position, you don't have to push your head too front. Keep your head normal, but see that your back is totally straight. From this we will see that how negligent I am, that to bend my back is feeling difficult. But when a person does it regularly, then see health-wise also how beneficial it is. And don't push your knees too back. Don't by grabbing your knees push your whole chin back like that. Keep it straight and just grasp your knees. Keep your chin straight. Then a person gets up from ruku, straight up. Keep your hands on the side in a normal position and keep your gaze down towards the sajda position. Then when getting up from ruku, a person has to read the masnoon du'as and stand in the coma position so much that your body is totally at ease. Don't just get up from ruku and you're hardly halfway and you're going back into sajda. That means your namaz is incomplete. So get up, straight up again. And when you're getting up again, check, did my feet not move this way or that way? Then, that is what Hazrat teaches us, that a Sufi, his eyes is not hitting them now, read the Arsh of Allah. And we're not even seeing whether my feet are straight, etc. And that is why we don't get connection, because our outside salah is still not in order. So when we get up from ruku, just get up straight, stand straight, and read the sunnah dua. Rabbana wa lakal hamd, or Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. When you're making your salah individually, you will say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allahumma Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And in nafal salah, as we learn, try and read the other du'as also, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan, fi. Then you see there'll be itminan, there'll be extreme calmness in your salah, and your whole life will start becoming calm. And you'll see this rush of life will go out. So come up straight and keep your gazes down and keep your hands on the side. Once you have done your ruku now, yeah, that's another important point also. When you're getting up from ruku, then don't swing your arms on the side. Keep it with respect just on the side like this. And also, when we start our salah, like Hazrat says, we like to change gear. A person first starts his, is going to start his salah, Allahu Akbar, but he's making, from the start, he's putting his hands there, and then bring it. No, bring it just straight to your ears, normal. Don't like we are changing gear, and then we come to our ears, etc. In ruku also, when you get up with ease and comfort, and just keep your hands on the side. Don't move your hand, or don't play around with your sides, your clothes, etc. We realize we are standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, when a person now has to go in sajda, then the people that are fit and young, and all of us generally, is just we think that, no, I'm getting old, I can't manage. But if we try till our best, how much we can manage, then straight, keep your back straight. Don't bend your back and go into ruku.
keep your back absolutely straight and go down slowly. Keep your hands on your thighs like this. And go down straight. A person goes from the standing position, keep your hands on your lap and go down straight, keeping your back straight. Put your knees first down on the ground and then your two hands. And this is the time when you will see your hands must be totally closed and in facing the Qibla. And in between your two ears, a person goes straight down into Sajda and after you put your hand down, put your head down and make sure that your nose is on the ground and your forehead. And for a man, keep your arms open. Don't keep your arms closed. But when you're making Salah with Jamaat, then don't stretch your arms. Then keep your arms closed, but keep it up. Don't keep your arms against your body, etc. That is for women folk. So we all try and go in Sajda straight down. Now this is the time to practice our hands. Mostly our hands here goes out of position. Keep your hands in Sajda totally closed like this. Keep it closed and not touching your ears. Now keep it away from your ears. Keep it away from your ears but in line with your ears. And keep your hands apart. But when you're making Salah with Jamaat, obviously you're not going to keep your hands apart like this. When you're making Nafal Salah, and even if your hands is stretched out, when you're stretching your hands, don't now turn your fingers away from the Qibla. So we can try and go down in a straight position, not bending our back, inshallah. And then when you're in Sajda, your feet should be, your toes should be bent towards the Qibla. Then bend your feet towards the Qibla and keep your feet upright. Make sure that we're bending our feet, that is, if you press your toes on the ground, your toes should be facing towards Qibla. So you face your toes towards Qibla and then you make your Salah in that way. And see that you're not moving your feet and you're not lifting your feet in Sajda. Your feet should be firm on the ground. Then when you get up from Sajda, and as you're going, as far as your clothes is concerned, while you're going down, your hands will be on your left. So just keep your hands closed in the middle of your kurta, so that when you go down, your kurta doesn't spread out and cause inconvenience to the next person. So you just keep it straight, and then a person now, and also when we get up from ruku, etc., don't fiddle with our kurta. Normally we got a habit, we hold, making our kurta straight. Or we making our, when you're going down in ruku, don't lift your trousers, etc. Don't unnecessarily fiddle with your clothes. When you get up from your first sajda, now when you sit in jalsa position, your feet should be sitting on your right feet, and your left feet will be straight up. And let your toes press against your left feet towards the Qibla. In other words, come and demonstrate this. Yeah? Your feet in Sajda. Jalsa, come up in Jalsa. That is your left feet. You'll be sitting on your left feet, and your right feet will be straight up, also pressing your feet down and facing towards Qibla. And remember, according to our tariqah, what we learned in Sajda, that keep our feet normal. There is other, the riwayat, that the feet should be together. That is also correct. But what we have learned from our elders and our buzurgs, what the tariqah we follow, that is also correct. That just leave your feet in a normal position, that is four fingers, leave it in that position. So if we satisfy that just as I learned from my share, then stick to that position. And somebody else are keeping their feet closed, don't go and object to them. That is also totally correct, and they have also learned from their mashayikh. So let us follow the tariqah of our mashayikh. So in Sajda, sit on your left feet and keep your right feet up, but make sure your toes of your right, left feet are against the right feet. And it's facing towards Qibla, and your feet at the bottom also, your right feet should be facing towards Qibla. And then you look on your left when you're making your, when you're in your jalsa position. And in this way now you will sit with itminan, especially nafal namazas, read the sunnah dua, Allahumma khfirli warhamni, etc. And then we go into the next sajda in the same position. And then, and keep in sajda, keep your palms on your thigh, on your left, and don't shift your hand, and don't fiddle with your hand. Just keep your hands in a normal position, on your thigh, right in line, just on your knees, and slightly, below your knees. So in this way, you just keep your hands normal, don't fiddle with your hands, keep it in a natural position. And then in the At-Tahiyyat position, that means in the second rakat, when you're sitting for At-Tahiyyat, and or in the last, then you're reading your At-Tahiyyat, when you read your Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, you're going to raise your finger, but you don't have to raise it so high also, just naturally raise it a bit, and with your shahada, with your middle finger and your thumb, make a ring, and these other two fingers, close it like this. So your shahada finger you'll be raising, and ashhadu, when you say ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, you raise it a bit, and ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah, you drop it. So and then a person just drops it, it doesn't have to be right down, but just almost touching your knee. So you make a ring with your thumb and your middle finger, and your other two fingers are closed. And then according to our Hanafi Mazhab, you don't shake your finger. Keep your finger normal. And after then you read your tashahud, you read your durud, you read your dua. Now when it is time for salam, then salam starts from the middle. And say full, start your salam, assalamu alaikum. Turn your head full and look at your shoulder. And as we have mentioned, make niyat of the malaika on the right. And if you watch, behind the imam, whichever side the imam is, and all the muqtadis. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You start with assalamu alaikum in the middle. By the time you turn, you reach wa rahmatullah on your shoulder. You finish, make your one salam. Now turn your head slowly back to the middle. This is the sunnat method, and this is how we have learned from our elders. Turn your head back to the middle. Start your next salam from the middle. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Turn full again to the left side, and then bring your head back into the middle. Now your salah is totally complete. Now you can stand and lift your, now you can lift your hands in dua. And in dua also, our hands should be facing towards Qibla with a slight gap in between in the number two button line. Our Shaykh says the easiest way is in line with your number two button, in line with your chest, and keep your hand slightly bent. That, oh Allah, I'm begging for you. And in between there'll be a small gap between your two hands. And normally, we have to see that people are seeing us in salah. Our children, etc., we're making dua, like closing our face, or like we got something, or we're smoking something. People, they look at us, especially imams, etc., they think that is how we must make dua. Although while you concentrating, sometimes you touch your face, etc., but don't make that a habit. The normal dua is that we make dua in the humble way and say, Ya Allah, you are, my bowl is broken, you fill my bowl. And after making dua, then to run. Pass it over the face is to, so to say, that, oh Allah, I have asked you, I've got already what you have given me. So Allah give us tawfiq. This was just a very quick, brief lesson. We should make an intention that I want to correct my outward salah and my inward salah, inshallah. Then we'll see the rahmat, the barakat that will come back into the ummah. Allah give me, all of us, tawfiq and understanding.